God's grace and peace be with you. Both yesterday at the celebration of life for Florence, whom I never met, but who I feel so blessed by nonetheless, and in preparation for this morning's worship, I find myself again and again coming back to a story that I told yesterday and that some of you may have heard before. And it goes back to the time 8 years ago when Marty and our kids and I walked El Camino de Santiago, the pilgrimage across northern Spain. We started in France, just over the Pyrenees, and crossed over the Pyrenees and walked to Santiago de Compostela, which tradition has is the burial place of St. James the Lesser. And along that pilgrimage route, I was struck over and over again by the same witness and story that we tell this morning. Because here's the thing about this pilgrimage. This is a 1,000-year-old route. 1,000 years people have been walking this path. And there's no map. I mean, there are maps, but they don't really have all the detail you need to know where you're going for 500 miles. They sort of show you what towns have a grocery and what towns have a hostel where you can stay and, you know, where you might be able to find an ATM machine. But they don't show you how to walk the path. And the way you get through this 500-mile route is you look for the signs. Not, you know, signs, here's the Camino signs, but maybe a cairn that someone has built, a pile of stones. Or maybe the symbol of a seashell, which was sort of looks like this. It's a number of lines coming together, and it represents both the paths of pilgrims who come from all over the world and then connect at that central point. Or it also calls to mind the seashells that pilgrims used to carry to use as a bowl for soup or water. You might look for those seashells, but most often what you would look for would be an arrow, a yellow arrow, a bright yellow arrow that would be painted. It might be painted on someone's house. I mean, they would just paint a yellow arrow on their house. Or it might be painted on the curve of the street in Pamplona. Or it might be painted on a tree as you're walking through a forest. You'd look for the yellow arrow. And it would take you just far enough to where you'd begin to wonder if you were still on the right path, and you'd look up and there'd be another sign. There'd be another marker to direct you on your way. And beloved, that's what we are remembering today. We are remembering all of those people who have left markers for us. Because see, when I walked that pilgrimage with my husband and my kids and we looked for those signs, it occurred to me that for 500 miles and 1,000 years, people who will never know me went out there to make sure I would have the path marked so that I would not lose my way. People who would never know me took the time and the effort to go out there and set a sign on the path so that I would be able to find my way. These were people who didn't know where I would be coming from. They weren't from my culture. They don't speak my language. I don't speak their language. They know nothing of my motives, whether my motives for walking the Camino are pure or not, whether I'm walking the Camino for the same reason they care for the Camino, or whether I'm just out there on a holiday and really don't care enough at all. They didn't ever question my motives before they went out there and set the mark on the path. For 1,000 years, someone has been going out there and setting the signs for hundreds of miles for pilgrims they would never meet and would never know until the far side of the resurrection. That's what we are about today. Because for all of us sitting here, our faith rests on the love and the labor and the witness and the commitment of all of those pilgrims who have set the signs for our path in faith, for our pilgrimage through this world, so that we could find our way, so that there would be a church here for us when we came, so there would be a witness and a testimony and a faith that we could stand on until we understood our own path. They set the signs for us by their worship and by their volunteering to be on the altar guild and by their testimony and by their singing and by their living their lives so that the light of Christ would flow through their hearts and their hands and touch us. On the pilgrimage for thousands of years, someone has been setting the signs for us. And I am continually touched by the power of that gift and how much it flows through us and how very, very necessary it continues to be, even more necessary as each day goes, maybe. Because as I look at our witness and our mission and I look at our place in this world, I recognize there are a whole lot of places our paths could take us, beloved. There are a lot of possibilities for our journeys through this world. And our journeys can take us to a lot of places. There are a lot of paths open to us. And not all of them end very well. There are paths out before us that end in bitterness and hatred. There are paths before us that can end in violence. There are paths before us that can end in darkness that tries to overwhelm the good news that we have been given. There are paths in this world that lead to places we wish we would never go. But there are also paths of light and hope. There are paths of mercy and faith. There are paths of love that restores people. And we are called, we know in our baptism, to the path that draws people to that which is pleasing in God's sight. We are called to the paths that draw others to God. And we are called not only to walk those paths that are marked by the people who have gone before us and for whom we give thanks, but we are also called to set the marks for the people who will follow. And beloved, they need help finding the way. We look at the world. We cannot go 1 week, not 1 week, without another story of horror and tragedy and loss. People need to find the signs to walk a path. And we are here to set those signs and to be those signs. As we go out, not just in this space, but as we go out into our daily worlds, we are called to the path that teaches the world to look at every single person they meet and see image of God reflected there. To teach everyone, regardless of whether they are Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Baha'i or Hindu or anything else, Sikh or atheist or agnostic or Christian who disagrees with us, we are called to the paths that see and reflect the image of God in every person we see, and to call forth that image. To call forth that which builds up and restores, that which heals and promises grace and resurrection out of dark and dead places. We have a calling to set the signs and to mark the path. And we have that calling because God has promised us that we would find the way ourselves. Because Christ is with us, and Christ continues to be with us through the witness of the saints who were all imperfect. All of them were imperfect. And they all set paths, and like us, every once in a while they wandered off the path. But no matter what any follower of Jesus does, no matter how far we wander, there is always someone that God gives to us to direct us back. Oh no, the path you're looking for, it's over here. Oh, the path you're looking for, it's over here. Oh no, don't be afraid. You're on the right path. Keep going. Keep going. All Saints Sunday is not just a thanksgiving for the promise of resurrection for our loved ones, but is a celebration too of this truth that the world needs a path through darkness to light, and we have been given the gift of helping to hold and mark that path for people we will never meet, for people we do not know, for people whose language is not like our own, for people whose journey has been different from ours, for people we do not understand, for people whose motives we may not trust. Beloved, we are here to set the signs and mark the path for those who need God. And God has graced us with the capacity to do it. This is why I always love having Commitment Sunday on All Saints Sunday. I cannot think of a better way to honor and thank God for the faith of those saints who helped guide and shape me. All of those people who brought me to faith, who brought faith to me. All of those people who taught me and guided me and supported me and helped me when my motives were not always very good. And who taught me what it means to follow Jesus. I can't think of a better way to honor them than to give of myself, my resources, my time, my money, to continue the witness of the gospel, to continue to paint an arrow, to place a cairn, to show a sign of where life is found, and to show hope for that path, to cast light on that path that loves the neighbor who's not like you, and who holds up the care for those who are wandering and hurting and alone. I've been there. I know what it means when someone comes and says, "Do you need help? Can I help you? Can I give you some water? Can I show you the way?" Oh, beloved, the world is dying for light on this path. And we are here to be part of it. We're not perfect. And our own pilgrimages, our own journeys have been a little twisty now and then, wandered off now and then, and been brought back through grace by Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we continue to be a sign of grace in this world. And these commitments, these are God's blessing to us, to allow us to be part of the hope in this world, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, to carry the promise of mercy and love that transforms us from people of darkness and violence and bitterness and pettiness and hatred and fear, people of courage. Courage, beloved. Courage. Courage and hope and life. I give thanks for all of those people, for generations past, who have laid the path so that when I was able to let go of my disbelief in God, and when I was ready to come to the God that I actually longed for without knowing it, there was a church here for me. There was a proclamation and a testimony of the gospel. I'm so grateful for those saints. But beloved, I continue to be grateful for you. I am so grateful for you as you continue to set that path and to mark the way and to hold out hope and to be the church. I give thanks to God for you, for your witness, for your testimony, for your willingness to sacrifice, for your presence here in worship and praise, and your willingness to be the body of Christ raised up from death for hope in this world. I give thanks to God for you and all that you are. And I give thanks to God most for Jesus Christ, who by some miracle has turned us into this blessing. Thanks be to God.